Well, we're thinking about Father's Day and family, and it's been interesting to observe the candidates for president in the next campaign are all beginning to catch on that they need to do something about family life. Previously, Dan Quayle was about the only one who mentioned something about a wholesome family life, and he was crucified by the liberal press. But now the others are also picking it up. So I've been looking carefully at what's happening in society, and here's an article titled, All They Need Is Love. And this rules out all discipline, practically no correction, saying yes to everything, depriving them of nothing. Never force a child to be toilet trained. He'll learn it on his own when he is ready. Well, things like that. Really, that's the essence of what's wrong in our country, where parents have abdicated being parents, children run the family, and youth run society, and we cater to them rather than training them. Well, here's an interesting response, a letter to the editor. It says, this article makes no sense because it puts a child in control of the parents. A three-year-old in charge of two parents is a scary thing to behold. And what of having more than one child in the family? Parents will be exhausted trying to keep more than one child happy. Children need loving and caring parents to spend time with them, to teach, guide, give appropriate boundaries and discipline. We all can't get what we want when we want it. That is reality. And to raise children in their manner will create a society no one will want, much less be in charge of. I hope the Register will do an article featuring Dr. James Dobson's books to let this article go without a countering view would be a crime. Well, appreciate that letter, and today we want to consider the biblical qualities of a godly father. Now, the sharing was enough of a sermon for us, but we do need to look at some scripture. Would you please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll begin at verse 7. 1 Thessalonians 2, 7. And would you follow as I read the paragraph here? Now, Paul is explaining the ministry that he and the other men had when they were in Thessalonica, established a church. Now he's traveling and he's writing a letter back to them, reminding them of the ministry that these people brought to the Thessalonians. Verse 7, but we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children, so affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and challenged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. This text reveals five qualities of a godly father. And as I talk about family and fatherhood, I want you to know I'm not speaking out of success. I am not parading anything personally. Most of what we could all say would be out of failure, the things we have done wrong. But, you know, God's grace covers them. So, no matter what problems you may be facing now in family, remember, God's grace is greater. Not only greater than our sin, but greater than our failures, greater than our mistakes, so that after you come through it, you can see what God has done. And so today I can say that I would not trade my family for any that I know. And that's because of God's marvelous grace. So take heart. God is good and helps us. It has been interesting to me to view what has taken place in the church regarding this. It seems like young pastors, just beginning, are the ones who have all the seminars about sex and family and parenting. And I want to jerk on their coattail and say, wait a minute, buddy, take about 20 more years before you become an expert on sex, family, and marriage. Well, today, because of the condition of our society and the need, it's good for us to look at a passage like this and catch some biblical truth. Now, the first thing that Paul speaks of here is in verse 8 about affectionately longing. Now, how can we label this? By the way, the outline is in the back of the bulletin. The first one, that a godly father has genuine love, affectionately longing. So, while they are children, what can a father contribute or do for the child? And when does a child become a young person? Well, we don't exactly know, but somewhere around 12 probably, they are still children. And the term is endearment. Lots of hugging. Lots of kissing, lots of holding, tenderness, gentleness, changing diapers. I've known of men who refuse to do that. They lose something. There's a bonding. There's a closeness that needs to be done. So fathers provide for that child a peaceful home, security, at the same time, authority, the strength, firmness, with gentle, genuine love. That's the privilege, that's the opportunity. And you only have one time to do that, and that's while they're children. Now they grow. And when they hit 12, 13, 14, tremendous changes take place, where there is some confusion on their part that they don't even know what's happening to them, physically, psychologically, sometimes spiritually. So what do men do? Sometimes men tend to become aloof And because it's also confusing to them, they back off. Let me encourage everyone to say that fathers at that time need to reveal loving approval. I have had more young people say to me, the one thing they have desired the most is their father's approval. But because so many things happen to young people, there's that sense of disapproval. Can I ever do anything right? It's important for the father to reveal loving approval. As they cry out, please show me that you care. Please pay attention to me. Please pay attention to me fairly. Hear me out. Listen carefully. And listen without anger. Anger is the killer in family life. How do you control it? The only hope is that God Himself does that. And we must rely upon Him. So fathers begin with genuine love for children and young people, and fathers demonstrate that love. Don't just take it for granted. It has to be made known. The second point here works with that, where Paul speaks of genuine openness. As he said, we were pleased to impart to you, and we were with you night and day. Brings up that age-old word called communication. Fathers need to talk to the family and need to talk to children and young people. But we are not too good about that. Women are much better at talking and communicating than men. We tend to hide and to be silent, but we need to talk. Talk to them about your Savior. Your Savior. This is my Lord. This is my Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one I worship. Talk to them about that personal relationship. Talk to them about your salvation I'm forgiven of sin. I'm justified. I'm under the grace of God. And we talk to them about our faith. We have lots of problems facing us. But God has given us faith here. And we're going to trust Him. With the world we live in, with our finances, I want to share my purpose in life with you. I want you in on the decisions, and so that you know what's happening. I remember that when we took a mission in rural Sacramento, we did not have enough income to live on through the month. And we talked to our children about that. And they got in on the prayer for God's provision. I think that was very helpful to them. Rather than being too proud to admit I wasn't making enough money, it was there. And so we had prayer meetings together about God's supply. And we'd go out to the front porch, and there would be a sack of great food that the farmers around us brought, and supplies like that revealed to them that prayer and faith was a vital part of family life. But it needs to be talked about. We need to open up. We need to share our life. And along with that, we need to admit our weakness. This is difficult for fathers to admit error and failure and needs. Children need to know we have needs. They kind of think, we've got it made, we're adults, everything. No, we have great needs. And you need to pray for us as well as for us to pray for you. Basically, in this thought of genuine openness, is that children and family need to know you. Who are you? Don't hide behind a mask. And don't hide from them with macho silence. Open up and be the man they need to know. The third point here that Paul speaks of is genuine diligence. He says, we were with you in labor and toil, laboring night and day. We could call this perseverance. How many times a day does a father want to say, I give up? I quit. I'm out of here. It's hard work. Requires diligence. Stay at it. It's worth it. Do not give up. Request prayer. And if young people were here, I would plead with them, pray for your father and help him. It is the most difficult role on earth, the most awesome responsibility. The people who need most help in this world are parents. And I made a resolution a long time ago in dealing with family problems and conflicts. I would never, ever work against parents. I am a supporter of parents. I am an encourager of parents. And so take heart. Be diligent. It's day and night. It's daily. Stay at it. Top priority, and be the father that God has called us to be. The fourth point here is genuine spiritual leadership. From verse 11, Paul says, we exhorted and comforted and charged you as a father does his own children that you would walk worthy of the Lord. That spiritual life. And we preach the gospel to you. Genuine spiritual leadership is the role that God gave. It is not an option. It is not an aside. God gave it to fathers. Fathers are not to leave it with mothers, but to take the leadership. Teach the Bible. Study the Bible. It's the most important role you and I have. And children need this example. We for many years, we had family Bible study from kids who were probably 4 or 5 on up through Debbie's age or whatever. There was one man there who was silent, did not participate, could not lead, but after a year or so, that man could lead the study, could lead in prayer, could participate in Bible, and that did more for his children than he'll ever know. Children and young people need to hear their dads pray, and they need to see their father with a Bible and a Bible open getting God's word into his life. Genuine spiritual leadership. What a marvelous passage this is, which teaches us about genuine love and genuine openness, genuine diligence, and genuine spiritual leadership. And the last point here in this passage is genuine influence. How they were with them and affected their lives. And we work with you so that you would walk worthy of the Lord. There's an influence there. And what we should desire for them is a life worthy of the Lord. And they are impressed that we want the desires for them. So in that influence then, fathers need to set the standards, the direction for the family. This is what we do. We set the standards for details, for dress. Today we live in a world of immodesty. And we don't give in to the world's standards for dress. The Father sets that standard for activities. Where do we go and what we do? This is what our family does. This is where we go. This is what we do. Now, one time, Tim got into surfing, and he's eighth grade. And one Saturday night, he says to me, "Dad, I'm not going to church tomorrow. I'm going surfing with my friends." I said, "Tim, on Sundays, our family goes to church. You will go to church with us tomorrow morning." Blah, 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 yeah, yeah, you know, the contradiction to that. So he went to church. That's what our family does. I set that standard. It's one thing to set it, and it's another thing to enforce it. It gets a little tougher to enforce it. But thankfully, creative alternative came to me, and I said to Tim, "This is what we'll do. We'll get up at 5:30. I'll take you down to 32nd Street, and I'll walk on the beach while you surf with your friends." And that's what we did. We got home in time for Sunday school and church. Well, that worked through that occasion. I don't know if it worked every time, but that's a That helped. We have to be consistent with those standards, to set them and enforce them and communicate them so that it's clear and it's not a surprise. And you know what will happen? They will respect the Father. It's very important that children and young people respect their Father. And it comes through this example. So a father leads and guides, directs the family in peace and with direction and without anger. Do not embarrass children and young people publicly. Do not yell at them. To yell at them is insulting them. And so they need to respect you, but not to fear our anger. And another thought that's important is that we need to build a home where young people love to come home. And many young people I've talked to who say, "I just dread to go home. I really don't want to go home. I put it off as far as I can. I do something, I stay at the library, or whatever, because I don't want to go home." And that's a tragic thing. build a home where young people want to come home. And that requires a little fun. In spite of all that we've said here today, have a little fun at home. And be a fun person to be around. And get in on that with them. Have fun with them. And what is happening as parents is that we are shaping and molding a life. That's a privilege. That's a stewardship that God has given us. And in spite of all that happens, God's grace wins. That's a wonderful thing. Count on the Lord, and He will sustain us and help us. One final thought that needs to be said. We can be with them night and day and shape and influence and work hard at it and do everything right. That doesn't guarantee what they will be. Parents are not responsible for the behavior of young people. I'm responsible for my life, and you are for yours. And the tragic of our society is that everybody's blaming everybody else. No. The people in high school in Colorado who killed the others are responsible for their own behavior. Don't take that guilt upon you. You can't blame someone else, and neither can I. We have talked to people recently who are bearing guilt about that. They can't do that. They provided a wonderful home. I could tell you a million young people who'd want to live in your homes for that privilege. But you're not responsible. Don't take that guilt on yourself. You do what you can. You follow the biblical standards. You take a passage like this and go through it. You pray, you work. They're responsible. And I'm responsible. I can't blame others. I could say my wayward youth was because I had no father, who died when I was 9. I can't do that. I knew what I was doing was wrong. We need to pinpoint responsibility again today and teach them immediately. We're doing what we can for you, but you're going to have to live this life. And so, by the grace of God, the goodness of God, the strength of God, we live in families, which are wonderful. You know, you could go through all the problems, cast it aside. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to be a father. It's wonderful to have a wife and a mother and a family. Nothing touches it. Why? Because God ordained it. God originated it. God is in it with his whole being. And so on this Father's Day, let's close in prayer. Would the fathers please stand as we close in prayer. Lord God Almighty, we bow in prayer here today to thank you that you are our Heavenly Father, the ideal Father. And we thank you today for the privilege of carrying on as fathers. And so with Sean and Chris and Darren and Eric and the other fathers in our church, how we thank you that each one cares and is diligent and is dedicated to the biblical direction of being a father. I pray with them this morning. Lord, encourage their hearts. Just hold them in your own strong arms and give them all the traits and qualities we mentioned this morning from this passage. Give them a most glorious day of confidence and authority that comes from you. Lift them up and use them for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.